Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. We've got Wyoming Cowgirl basketball this evening as they host South Dakota State. 6:30 tip-off, 6 o'clock pregame right here on KFBC. Let's go to the phones, visit with our next guest. He is the co-host of Tiki and Tierney. You hear him right here every weekday before us on the Sports Zone. Brandon Tierney joining us on the program. BT, it is always a pleasure. How are you doing?
Keith, what's up, buddy? Good to be back with you, man. Happy holidays.
Yeah, well. Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Yeah.
It's a great time of year. What are the Tierney traditions on Christmas now that you got two little ones running around?
Well, I'll tell you after this Christmas, because we are actually moving into our new home tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of moving parts. But, you know, I've tried to take a few things from my childhood. My mom's Italian, so one thing we do, it's probably a bit more of a Northeast thing, but, you know, the Italians do this. Christmas Eve is really big, and we have a seafood festival, so to speak, like it's each seafood represents a religious article or, you know, something to do with Christmas. It's called the Feast of the Seven Fishes, so that's the big thing, almost bigger than Christmas Day in a lot of ways. And then when I was really young, we'd go to Midnight Mass, and we'd rip through the toys like everybody else the next day. This year, with my family, it's a little different year to year, because my wife's from Dallas, so, you know, every other year we go there, which is great, but it's just different. This year we're obviously in the middle of a move, but hey, as long as Santa finds out the new address, everybody's going to be happy.
Absolutely, absolutely, BT. You know what? This Denver Nuggets team's going, talking to the NBA, they're tops in the West. I mean, listen, I know it doesn't mean much right now. We all know the Golden State Warriors are probably going to be the best team out West. But what the Nuggets are doing, man, how impressed are you with that?
I'm incredibly impressed. I'm not stunned. Well, let me take that back. I'm certainly stunned that they're atop the Western Conference at 21-9. Yeah, that is stunning when you look at that part of the website and you don't see the Warriors first. I mean, you don't even see the Warriors second. The Thunder are playing really well, as you know, right behind Denver. But I like Denver. You know, Teague and I remember saying during the, when was it, right around the draft, and, you know, just any time NBA talk would come up there at a quiet point, I not that I always incorporated the Nuggets, but I was quick to point out, as we rifle through, you know, the Western Conference teams, hey, don't forget about Denver, because they were sixth a year ago in terms of scoring the basketball. I think they're a pretty well-coached team. They've developed a nice home court advantage, and they've got a lot of guys with some good versatility. I really like Denver. And what this does, too, Keith, is this, you know, again, is it sustainable? I mean, if you were to prorate this and go, well, let's see, 21-9 would be 42-18. I mean, do they get to that point? I would say that I would lean against it. You know, I don't think that they're going to collapse, but I don't know that they sustain this. But what it does do, it opens the door for the Denver Nuggets to have serious conversations amongst themselves here, the hierarchy, about maybe making a big trade and going for it. You know, there's only so many teams in the West that, even though it's wacky and it's all out of loop, the Rockets are playing better now. The Spurs are playing better now. Still, I don't take them incredibly seriously, but the Spurs are you still have to respect them. You would imagine at some point the Utah Jazz get going, and they just beat the Celtics. That was a nice win. The Warriors, so that was a nice win. The Pelicans, there's some pretty talented teams that aren't even a playoff team right now. So what I'm saying here, Keith, is that while I think Denver will absolutely remain as a top four seed, there's enough imbalance and unpredictability to the West where there's a little window that nobody thought would be open for a team like the Nuggets, for a team like the Thunder, for a team like Portland, if even the Clippers, if they can make one really interesting, unexpected move to bolster what they already have.
You a fan of Nikola Jokic?
Oh, am I a fan? He's one of the best players in the NBA.
Right?
I mean, he's just tremendous. Now, I watch him a lot because, obviously, being on the East Coast, even though we do a national show, a little bit of a little difference in time frame, and that's why I use NBA TV to really get my NBA fix. Of course, you know, I've got the league pass, but I like what NBA TV does. I love the dialogue. I love the ability to kind of bypass the games that don't really mean much and have them cut into the ones that do. And that's really where I get my Nikola fix, because the one thing he's got to do, though, he's got to, and I'm sure you guys have discussed this, got to tighten up his body. He's got to hit the weight room. Now, to be fair, maybe he's just kind of predisposed to having a little bit of a, I don't know if doughy is the right word, but I don't know that he's ever going to be ripped.
Right.
You know, and like Carmelo, it's funny, Carmelo with Denver as well, but Carmelo was never really ripped like LeBron or muscularly defined, even like a Dwayne Wade or some of his peers, Chris Bosh. Nikola might just have that kind of body that is supple, is incredibly a great dexterity, but he won't necessarily look the part. So I don't think it's laziness. I'm not saying that. But if that body ever comes around to meet the head, the passing ability, which is sublime, the range for somebody his size, he's one of the best players in the NBA. And you know what? You attach a period at the end of that statement. You're not asking. I'm telling. He's one of the best players in the NBA.
Rockets 26 threes last night. I mean, if a team was going to break that record, it was probably going to be Houston or Golden State, right? But how many travelings did I didn't see that?
Yeah.
How many travelings did James Harden have? Man, that one gif that's running around, that was ridiculous.
There was five steps, Keith.
It was ridiculous.
It was a beautiful move because he basically started at the head of the circle and then he was able to kind of, you know, waltz, moonwalk Michael Jackson his way to near the bench on the wing and do what he does. You know, listen, it's one thing if a guy's on a fast break and he takes the extra step. Okay, well, look the other way. It is about theater, and you want to throw down a dunk. You don't call him for travel. My guy Ewing would do this all the time. He'd catch it, and he'd kind of shuffle his feet real quick before he'd put it on the floor or before he'd take a jump shot. And he had kind of earned he had earned that respect, and they kind of looked the other way. But when it's so egregious and when it's so obvious, just for the integrity of the game, you got to blow the whistle. How the hell do you miss that?
I don't know. It's funny to watch it. With some of the music that gets put behind it, I kind of get a kick out of that. We're talking to Brandon Tierney, co-host of Tiki and Tierney, on right before us on the Sports Zone. You hear him every weekday. BT, I heard Bill Ryder talking about this a little bit last night. Some teams talking about have been practicing a 4-point play. There was a line out there. This would be a colossal mistake, don't you think, by the NBA, if they even addressed this, a 4-point play in the league?
I think it would be so goofy. I think it would be, listen, yeah, I do think it would be problematic. I don't like it. Now, one thing that could be interesting, if you want to spice it up and you want to acknowledge that the spacing has obviously increased exponentially, maybe, just as an option, and again, I'm just thinking out of the box. I'm not even sure I love this idea, but rather than, you know, embrace this and eventually implement it, if you want to come up with like a 4-point zone, I don't know, in the final minute of a game, so that if a team's down by 8 points, in theory, they still got a shot. You know, if you make a four, you got to stop, or you foul and they miss, and you make back-to-back 4-point plays. What in the world are we talking about? The point is that I do think they need to do something. And what I've said now for a couple of years, Keith, and I think it's a really smart idea. I just don't know why they haven't done this. Think about what the NBA was like in the 50s, okay? Your big men, not that dissimilar from the NFL, when you had, you know, left tackles in the 1950s and 1960s, they were 5'10", 165 pounds, right? The football field hasn't changed in terms of size. And now go back and apply that same just evolution of the human body to the NBA. And, you know, when I was growing up and I started to fall in love with hoops in the 80s, you know, you had, all of a sudden, you had, you know, 6'6", 2 guards, and every center was 7 feet. Every small forward was in that 6'7", 6'8 range. The Oakleys and the Bangers at power forward were 6'9". And you compare that to the 50s, where maybe a power forward was 6'4". So what I'm saying is, rather than adopt something goofy and you know, try to placate people and do something that's a little bit too arcadish, too video game-like for me, what you need to seriously consider is stretching the actual parameters of the court. Because when the game of basketball was introduced, the average human body, just in terms of size, was like 3.5 inches shorter. And that's why, have you ever been to Fenway, Keith?
I have not, no.
Okay. Have you ever made it to Wrigley Field?
You know what? As far east as I made it for baseball stadiums is Busch Stadium. So
Okay.
Me, yeah.
All right, well, first of all, you got to change that. You got to put that on the list.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
Know.
You got to get out. You will. But take it from me. I've been to the old Tiger Stadium before they ripped it down. I have not been to the Rig, but I have been to Fenway many times. You go into those older stadiums, those turn of the century, previous century, not this one. There's a reason why the seats are so small, because people were smaller. So again, just applied logic, and that's got to apply to the modern athlete. If you want spacing, and you want 6'7" and 6'8" two guards, and 7'3" centers like, you know, Embiid and Nikola is not, I don't think 7'3", but certainly my guy KP. You've got, even Dirk, of course, even though he's winding down, you've got to give them the room to roam, work the baseline. I think you need to stretch the court out maybe a foot and a half each way. That's what I've said on my show. You could keep it 94 feet in length. I don't think you need to change that. But if you widen the actual court, I think that addresses a lot of the issues.
I got one more. I want to do one quick NFL one. We've got about a minute left with you, BT.
Yeah.
I talked with Tiki about this the other day. Our boy Josh Allen, this is for our listeners, he's a competitor, right? I mean, have you been impressed with Josh Allen with some of the things he's been able to do?
I love how he has seamlessly developed an ability and a willingness to lead as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you can't fake. That's, you know, there's fake hustle, there's phony leadership. Don't forget, he had to walk into a locker room and kind of explain himself with those tweets that emerged, and mm-hmm. I know you know what I'm talking about. So he, you know, and they embraced him, and they gave him a chance to apologize and acknowledge he was young. But from there, he had to then earn the trust of the staff, earn the trust of the city, for sure, and then, most importantly, earn the trust of the guys in the huddle. Listen, he's got to tighten up his mechanics. He's got to become more accurate. But in terms of putting it, you know, tucking the football down, lowering his pads, taking on a linebacker, you know, throwing a 65-yard frozen rope, you see the flashes, and you see the potential that really could make Josh Allen great. Now, I don't know if he gets there, but I believe his aptitude is even a little bit better than I thought. I always liked his toughness, always loved his arm, always loved his feet, and he seems to be coachable. So those are five things that, as a starting base, you know, if you're an artist and you have a blank canvas, there's just certain things you need. You need a paintbrush, you know, you need paint, and you need an easel, you need maybe a smock, you say put it around your waist, you don't get paint on you. And it seems like he's got the ingredients, if they harness it properly and insulate him, Keith, to put out a pretty damn good painting in a couple of years.
BT, you and Tiki have always made yourselves available. Thank you so much, and to CBS Sports Radio for doing this. Have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll do it again. Thank you so much.
Keith, it's my pleasure. Merry Christmas to everybody out there in the beautiful state of Wyoming. Stay warm. I know it's a challenge now, but those beautiful mountains, I'm sure you could get by with that beautiful topography. So you're chilly, but you just got to look out the window, and you guys are in a great state. You know that. My pleasure, Keith. I had a good time, man.
Thanks, BT.
Okay, buddy. Yep.